I purposely left a vague title. I like to do that. So why don't we start with the title? The title of the Sikha, if I get it, if I remember it exact, was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Yihyeh B'Yom Sheni, Haba Aleinu, HaKol Yisrael L'Tova, ? That was the title, okay? I will repeat. The title, which is not really the title, but the title for the flyer, was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei Yihyeh B'Yom Sheni, Haba Aleinu V'HaKol Yisrael L'Tova, ? For those of you uninitiated, where does that line, Rosh Chodesh, whatever, Yihyeh B'Yom, where does that come from? Mevarchem HaChodesh in Musaf, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, we always announce the Rosh Chodesh. Why did I put a question mark on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei Yihyeh B'Yom Sheni? Because this Shabbos in Shul, we do not say Mevarchem HaChodesh. We don't say it for Tishrei. Why not?
Because you want to confuse the Satan.
You want to confuse the Satan, correct. We want to confuse the Satan, and if we announce when Rosh Hashanah is, the Satan will know exactly when the court is in session, and he will know when to be the defense, to be the prosecuting attorney, and therefore, by not announcing the date of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah, we kind of mess up his calendar, and we don't have this fear.
Really?
Dana, I think, makes the correct face. And says, really? In general, you have to ask yourself, who's this guy with the pitchfork that we're so worried about? And I will get to that, God willing, at the end. But really? You mean to tell me we've been blowing shofar for a month? We have a calendar. The guy with the pitchfork hasn't been hearing the shofar for a month, doesn't know when Rosh Hashanah is, he doesn't see everybody getting their fish heads ready and all of that. And even if you'll claim, okay, like, the pitchfork guy is sleeping until, like, the day of, the shofar blows, Rosh Hashanah morning, we're all dressed up in our yontif finest, we're dipping apples in honey, and because we didn't announce Rosh Chodesh 2 days earlier in shul, like, he's still confused, it doesn't make any sense. So the question, basically, if we now want to ask it in a more substantive level, is why does it seem that we are hiding or attempting to hide from whoever, maybe not the guy with the pitchfork, why does it seem perhaps that we're hiding the existence of the astronomic truth that there's a new moon called Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, just like every other month, that's about to happen? It seems like we're going out of our way to hide it. In fact, if I want to add substance to this question, and now I'll turn the floor to see if anybody can cop this, and then I'll tell you a story a little bit that goes along with this. But when else? Well, let me ask it backwards. In general, the fact that it is Rosh Chodesh on Monday, a week from yesterday, is totally hidden. It doesn't appear in our davening. Forget that we don't just say Mevarchem HaChodesh this Shabbos. It doesn't exist almost at all anywhere in our davening. Right? Can you think of any time in our davening when we mention that it's Rosh Chodesh? Even in the Maftir. What is the Maftir on Rosh Hashanah, which happens coincidentally to be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? Uvayom HaZikaron, Uvachodesh HaShvi'i Be'echad LaChodesh, Mikra Chodesh Yelachem, it's Rosh Hashanah. Now, there are in fact two hidden places in our davening where we actually mention, without anybody realizing it, that it is Rosh Chodesh. Anybody know what they are? This is great Jewish trivia. Where in the Rosh Hashanah davening, and there's only two places that I know of, do we mention? Yeah.
Oh, this might be on Rosh Hashanah, because they don't, blah, blah, blah.
That's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but it doesn't mention Rosh Chodesh.
Oh,
Rosh Chodesh. We say Yalla V'Yavo, but what do we say in Yalla V'Yom? Hazikaron Hazeh. We do not mention that it's Rosh Chodesh. Hidden. Two places.
Can you give us a hand for one of them?
What?
We mention the creation of the world, which is
we mention the creation of the world. That's Rosh Hashanah, not Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, the fact that there is a new moon.
Do you say Karbanot?
What do you mean, do we say Karbanot? At the beginning of davening?
No, we say in Musaf.
So in Musaf, and this is what Elisheva was referring to, in the Musaf for Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you happen to have a Machzor in front of you, you can turn to Kubak, one second. Where do we say that it's Rosh Chodesh? Chodesh just means in the month. Doesn't mean the new month. The new moon.
Are we if going
you,
to Musaf?
If you, you can go to Musaf or you can go to the Torah reading, whatever floats your boat. Torah reading will be easier to find, I think.
Found it. Page 422.
Okay, that's depending on your...
Whatever. I'll start in your Sorry, 400. 402.
Right. Again, it's in Musaf or in... Or in, it's easier in Torah reading.
All right.
Torah reading for the first day?
Torah reading for either day.
The bracha.
The maftir. I will read it. Okay. Uvachodesh hashvi'i be'echad lachodesh. Okay, the seventh month, the first day of the month. Mikra kodesh yelachem, kol melechad avodah lo tasu, yom teruah yelachem. Ba'asitam ola lereich nikolach lashem, you're going to bring a carbon. Parben bakar ayel echad chasimineshen ashivat timimim. And there's a mincha that comes along with that. A mincha tam solip lola b'shamish l'shas n'avosh n'zim l'ayel v'yisaron echad l'kevis echad l'shivar ha'kvasim u'si'irizim echad l'chatat l'chaper aleihem. Now here, Aleichem, now here, Elisheva was correct, and now Ricky is correct as well. There's a little line here that everybody kind of like floats over, but it's there. Milvad olat ha'chodesh u'minchata. In addition, these karbanos are in addition to the ola of Rosh Chodesh. So yes, we kind of, in a veiled way, mentioned, by the way, don't tell anyone, shh, yes, we brought the carbon for Rosh Chodesh. But it's kind of just thrown in there as an afterthought. So that is one example where we kind of mention it's Rosh Chodesh, but not really.
Anyhow, because it says...
It says, in addition to the carbon of Rosh Chodesh, we're bringing all these million other carbonos. And that's in the Maftir, and therefore it's also in the Musaf. There's one other place. So subtle, I mean like so subtle. And my story goes as follows. I will be telling the longer version of this story on Psalm Gedalia, actually, in anyone who's in Torah Misinai. But this is the first glimpse at my life story. When I was in fourth grade, so I went to camp for the first time. I went to Camp Ramah. I went to Camp Ramah in the Berkshires. And when I came back from Camp Ramah, I had learned so much Torah. In Camp Ramah that summer, and I'm not being facetious, I had learned so much Torah that summer in my 8 weeks there, that when I went back to Hebrew school, Talmud Torah, I was a public school kid, I went to Talmud Torah, I was already too smart for Talmud Torah. So they booted me out, leaving me with nowhere to go, so I had to go to yeshiva, and the rest is history. That's basically how I wound up in yeshiva in fifth grade. But one of the things that like convinced people that I was too smart for them was that I had realized or learned this, that the conservative sitter, the conservative maxer, has a mistake in it, that if you make this mistake, you are not yotze, you have to daven again. And I pointed this out in my shul, my conservative synagogue, that nobody here is, you know how it is, that Baal Tshuva syndrome when you're like uppity, like, none of you guys are yotzei. I was a little fifth grade pipsqueak because you, what was the mistake? Turn to the Musaf in the silent Shemona Esrei in the Malchus. Okay, it doesn't matter which day, they're all the same here.
Musaf in the Malchus.
458.
In the Malchus. You know, Musaf begins after the first three brachos with extra words thrown in there, the usual Musaf. Atavach hartanu mikol ha'amim, batitein lanu Hashem elokeinu b'yahava, u'mitnei chataeinu galinu mi'artzeinu. It's a standard Yom Tov Musaf. And then, right at the end of that paragraph, right before uvachodesh hashvi'i be'echad lachodesh, I'm in the Musaf. I know this is for the uninitiated. This is confusing. I'm in the Musaf at the beginning, after the first three brachos. At the end of that paragraph, right before Uvachodesh Hashvi'i Be'echad Lachodesh, we say V'yet Musvei Yom HaZikaron
Hazeh. Oh, because it's
plural.
I always thought of it
as Shabbos.
V'yet Musvei, plural, Yom HaZikaron Hazeh. Most people assume that this is for Shabbos.
Oh, you add the
because it's musvei, it's plural, because if it's Shabbos, there's... But it's not only for Shabbos. And the proof of that is on the second day, which cannot fall on Shabbos, it also says v'yet musvei. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us, at least on the first day, that if you say v'yet musaf, like it says in my conservative matzer, if you say v'yet musaf, yom hazikaron hazeh, and not v'yet musvei, You're not Yotzei. Why? Because you didn't mention Rosh Chodesh. Why? It's plural because the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is also the Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, even though we don't really say it. It's true, but somehow we don't kind of give a lot of press to the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh.
What about where it says Olat HaChodesh?
Right, that's the same thing that we mentioned from the Laning before. Okay, these are the only two references. It's a typo. It's not a philosophic. Okay. Or someone got confused and they said, why are we saying Musfei? It should be Musaf. And they're wrong, because it's Rosh Chodesh. So with the exception of these two things, and there's a third that I'll teach you right now, plus that we kind of don't mention Mevarech HaMachodesh, forget the Satan reason, we'll come back to that, it really seems like we're going out of our way to squelch Rosh Chodesh. And why? Now, the third one is already a drash, but if you turn, or if you know by heart, the extra Tehillim that we, or the extra Pasuk that we say from Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah, Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar, that one you might know by heart, or turn, you'll find it in Maariv, for example. In Maariv, instead of the Shamru, right before Shemon Esrei. And by the way, I could have easily put this all on a page for you, but that would be cheating. And then you will not learn your way around your matzah. So if you are lost in your matzah and you're not comfortable with the davening, like, where is this stuff? Excellent that you feel that way. First of all, you will learn by example, and B, then learn your davening before Monday, before Sunday night. Anyway. Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel liyom chagenu. Blow shofar, this is Tehillim, this is David HaMelech. Tiku, blow shofar, b'chodesh shofar, in the month of shofar, namely Tishrei, b'kesel liyom chagenu, when our holiday is covered up. The basic pshat in that pasuk is that normally a holiday falls on the 15th of the month when we have a full moon. Rosh Hashanah falls on the 1st of the month when the moon is just beginning, right? So it's Bakeseh, it's the moon. So what does it mean, blow in the month of Shofar? Bakeseh, meaning on the 1st of the month when the moon is still covered. Liyom Chagenu, when the moon is covered up on our holiday, i.e. the 1st of the month, i.e. Rosh Hashanah. But another way to understand this pasuk is Tik'u b'chodesh shofar, blow shofar in the month of shofar, when our holiday is covered. What holiday is covered? Rosh Chodesh. And if that's the pshat in what David HaMelech is saying, we are adding to our question. Rosh Chodesh is b'keset. It's being hidden. We're going out of our way to hide the existence of Rosh Chodesh as if it doesn't exist, minus the two tiny little backwards mentioning, the yud of Musvei, and yes, Milvad, like as an afterthought, Milvad Olat HaChodesh B'Chodeshel. And the question is, why? I would think, first of all, let me ask the question two ways, and then Shoshana, I'll take your comment. First of all, do we ever have 2 days that kind of fall out on the same day and we kind of deal with both? Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yeah, when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, we don't forget that it's Shabbos. We mention, true, our davening takes on the Yom Tov davening, but we mention constantly that it's Shabbos.
We add in the Shabbos words.
Correct. We add in Vishamru, we add in Adon, on Kael Adon, meaning we don't hide that it's Shabbos. It's superseded by Yom Tov, but we don't hide it. Suddenly, Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, we hide it. Why can't the 2 days coexist? And B, if I was going to match any 2 days together, wouldn't it make sense that Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah would be perfect days to share? After all, what is Rosh Chodesh all about?
It's a new month.
Hitchadshut, renewal. But that's not really what Rosh Chodesh is about. Rosh Chodesh is really about something a little bit more nuanced, in case you don't realize. Since Rosh Chodesh is a woman's holiday, you should know this. Okay, it's not just the month and the cycle of the month, which is, of course, special for women and renewal and all of that. Rosh Chodesh, what do we say in davening? Hayom Rosh HaChodesh. Hazeh Zman. Who knows their Musaf on Rosh Chodesh? Zman, what do we say about Rosh Chodesh? You need a regular sitter to do this. Zman Kapara L'chol Toldotam. That's what Rosh Chodesh is. Rosh Chodesh is a day for forgiveness. Kapara. It's a day for forgiveness and kapara because it's renewal. It all goes together. You're probably familiar with the allegory that the moon is like Am Yisrael. And it gets weaker, 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 smaller. And just when you think that it's all gone, there it is again, renewed. So the moon is commemorative of Am Yisrael. That's why we have a lunar calendar, yada, yada, yada. Okay? And therefore, if I was going to share days, it would be perfectly reasonable to say Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, Zman Kapara, what a perfect match.
Rosh Hashanah's not Zman Kapara.
Well, maybe that's the answer. But first, let's build up the question. I would think that Rosh Hashanah, Seres Yimei Tshuva, Tshuva, Kapara, are perfect things to match. Yet we go out of our way and we cover it up. We hide it as much as we can. No Rosh Chodesh here. And it makes no sense. And that's something that you need to think about. The answer that we're going to develop, why am I giving this sticha, and how did I frame it on the sheet? I don't know if you're like me, I can only speak for myself. When I get up to to Elul, and I know Rosh Hashanah is a month away, anytime anybody mentions Rosh Hashanah, like this panic, I'm not ready. And when I mentioned the other day Rosh Hashanah is like in a week, I'm like, this kind of like panic and dread of Yom HaDin, as if we haven't been through this routine all our lives and know that, you know what, it's going to be okay. But like there's this, and it's beautiful, but there's like this fear of Yom HaDin, Eimat HaDin, and it's scary, and nobody likes to be scared, so we kind of suppress it. But wouldn't it be a lot nicer if we could be excited for Rosh Hashanah, and perhaps if we recognize really what I'm going to show you, what Rosh Hashanah is really all about, maybe we'll have a little bit more of a positive perspective on it. It'll be something to embrace, and it will help our Rosh Hashanah davening in general, as I'll get to, and experience. Okay, so, but the question, the way I'm framing it is, why are we hiding? In other words, it's not just the little guy with the pitchfork. Why are we hiding? We're clearly going out of our way to hide Rosh Chodesh. You had a comment?
No, I just had a question from before when you said the one with the Tiku B'Chodesh Shavar, that part. Because was that like connected to the one before Malchios? Is it the same idea?
No, that Bakese, if I interpret it as Bakese, what's being hidden? Yom Chagenu.
Okay.
So if I interpret it that what's being hidden is Rosh Chodesh, it adds to our question.
Okay.
Elisheva already hinted to the answer. But it needs to be developed, Ms. Elisheva. So why don't we start with you?
Because maybe like the koach of Rosh Chodesh is kapara, but the koach of Rosh Hashanah is din, and it's like opposite of each other, so it can't really coincide to nicely. So
behind. Okay, so you were good until the last piece there, and whatever, but then I'll help. But we're going to help you. We'll take a few more comments and see if we can, together as a team, piece it together, Dan.
Also, like, Kapara usually is for sin, and Rosh Hashanah is not about sin because we don't really mention sin.
Why not?
Because Rosh Hashanah is about, like, I mean, it depends, like, I remember, like, I learned this, and, like, it's about building, it's like, a new foundation, not about, like...
Okay.
Not about...
Good, good. Let's see, again, because it's me here, so we're going to try to give it a little bit more, instead of just talking about new foundations, try to give it a little more... You know what I mean? But... We can work with that too. Ricky, yeah.
Isn't the mitzvah of the Yom HaMalchut Hashem?
And therefore,
you're not like atoning for all your sins because you're just like anointing Hashem as a king.
So just? Or? I know you don't mean just. I'm just saying develop. Okay, think about that for a minute. Talk to Dana a little bit. I mean, not really, but you know,
put that together. Let me take some people over here. Shoshana?
It's about like recognizing that Hashem is king. And
right, Malchus. That's what.
Right, but because like once you realize Hashem's king,
good, good. Let's try to develop a little more. Viva, yeah.
So I'm not sure how this connects to the king thing, but about how that's the whole thing. Whatever.
No, it's fine.
He's our king, but that the reason why it would be exciting is because like it's a day where like really we're like he's fixing us, so like we're getting like fixed, but like it's
to serve.
Yeah, and that's why it's, I mean, I don't know, we learned this last year, like, you don't look at it as a sad day, but it's, like, look at it instead as, like, a day where, like, you're coming in, you're being evaluated, and, like, you're like, getting almost like, critiqued and, like, feedback.
And feedback is always, we may not like it, but it's a positive thing.
Right, but it is a
positive. Okay, good, let's develop a little more. We're still not there, but none of these things are necessarily wrong, but it's not where I'm going, yeah.
That like if you're like focusing on your sins, like you're making yourself seem like lowly, and if you're so lowly, like how can you get close to something that's so awesome and like the king that's like
your fact. Nice idea. We're closer to where I'm going. Okay, Elisheva's like wants to salvage herself here. Yeah.
No, to add to what you were gonna say, I was saying once you're having kapara,
it means that you have to, in order to be atoned for something, it means you have to bring out your sins to be atoned for. But when you're having a day of judgment, you don't want to be bringing out sins, because that's just not...
Close. Okay, so let me help you. You all said it's good, and if we put it all together, you're there, but let me try to... Whatever. It isn't just that... Listen, it's Rosh Chodesh. But we have more pressing needs, so we're going to focus on those. Because if it was just that, we can't do two things at once. So it must be that the two things, and some of you tried to put that together, are they must be diametrically opposed. They must contradict. Whatever Rosh Hashanah is, can't just be, I'm busy with that, so I can't do this. So like, let's use Dana, for example, who I made fun of. Dana was saying it's not about sin, it's about new beginnings. Why can't it be about new beginnings and sin? Meaning, it has to be that it's, this negates the other. So let's talk about Malchus. Now, by the way, I am very impressed in this case with your high school education or your own education until now on this, because, for example, last year I sat around this table and when I mentioned the idea that Rosh Hashanah is not about sin, but rather it's about Malchus, which was said by most of you, I got very argumentative responses from the crowd. Like I was telling them something that they had never heard before, and then I showed it to them in the davening, and they believed it.
Oh, because we learned that in class.
Excellent.
Every class we learned today.
But same classes as last year, so I guess they learned the lesson. Fine. That means you're prepared. That's good. Rosh Hashanah is, in fact, about Malchus. Okay, now let's, before we develop the idea of why it's diametrically opposed to sin, can someone first, that's a very nice statement, that Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. Can somebody prove it? And proof doesn't mean a nice idea. Proof means proof. So I want a proof, and I hope you learned it in class. Or, again, your great teachers who told you, Malchus is beautiful, failed me again. Yeah.
Because in the davening, the word that keeps coming up is the word melech.
Okay. Yeah. That's a very good but not complete answer. The theme, if you go through your davening, and I'm not going to do this all with you now because you can spend the next 5 hours underlining every time it says the word melech. But yes, in the davening, the theme Malchus, Malchus, Malchus comes up all the time. That's a nice idea, and it's even at the beginnings of a proof, but it's not the proof. I want the proof. Yeah.
It's like, it might be the same as I think, but like, we change Hakel Kadosh to Malchus.
Yes, closer.
And you can't, you have to repeat to an Esrei.
Good, excellent. That's already is a proof. It's not the best proof, but it's a good proof. When we change Hakel Kadosh to Malchus Kadosh, and you're not even Yotze. Excellent, good. There's a better proof. Yes. It's similar, but yeah. Good. The Chazin starts a pasuk. He starts a line later than he does on a normal yontiv in Shacharis. Yeah, we normally start at Shokenad, but on yontiv we usually start Hakel B'Tatzumot Uzecha. Rosh Hashanah we start on Melech. Good. These are all good. There's a better, and again, when I say proof and I grunt, I mean it. Proof. Shofar's a proof.
Maybe it's shofar.
Shofar's nice, but it's
crowning the, hush, like the crowning.
Maybe, but maybe it's just noise. I don't know. Proof, Reva, you want to try proof? You were. We're getting closer. There's a section of Davin called Malchus Yafeh, but there's also a section called Zikronot and Shafarot. So open up to your Malchus. This is, by the way, a lesson in learning, okay? A lesson in learning. This is not only for Rosh Hashanah. This is true in general. When you want to know about a day in your calendar,
go to
your davening. Okay? Don't just go to nice class, nice idea that some teacher said to you. You have to go to the davening. Chazal in the davening reflected what the day is about. But you know what? Davening's long. So you can't just go to all the davening. Go to Shemona Esrei. Okay? The Shemona Esrei is the real davening. Everything else is nice. But Shemona Esrei is long. So you're going to go about a calendar day. You're going to go to the middle bracha. You're not going to go to the first three bracha. You're going to go to the middle bracha. But you know what? The middle brachot on a normal day, for example, are long. But on a yantiv, those brachot are short. There's only one bracha. That bracha is called the bracha of Kedushat Hayom. So if you want to know about a day, in short, you go to that one bracha. So if you go, for example, in Marav or Shacharis, davening is all the same, only Musaf is different. So I'm in Marav, but it doesn't matter. And you go to the bracha of Kedushat Hayom. But you know what? The bracha of Kedushat Hayom is long. It starts at Tavach Artanu. It's long. So you're going to have to go to the last paragraph of that bracha, which on Rosh Hashanah is Kenu. Elokeinu v'elokei avotenu miloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'kvodecha v'yinaseh al kol, etc. But you know what? That paragraph is long. So you're going to go, notice what we're doing. We took davening, shmonesrei, the middle bracha, the last parak. You go to the bracha. That will tell you in one line what a day is about. Okay? This is true on every yantav. This is true on Shabbos. There's something to be learned from that bracha. What's the closing bracha? Baruch atah Hashem, melech al kol ha'aretz, mikadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. That is what Rosh Hashanah is about right there. Melech al kol ha'aretz.
That's the proof?
That's the proof.
How about Malchiyot?
Okay. Now Malchiyot, again, we said, is nice, but there's also Zichronot and Shofarot, and so why? But what's the real trick? In the Musaf, if you look, if you have headings on your paragraphs, the bracha of Malchios isn't just Malchios, its title, its official title is Malchiyot v'kedushat hayom.
Oh, it is.
Because Zichronot are nice, and Shofarot are nice, but the real definition of the day, 1 second, Dana, is Malchios. Okay, so that's the proof. Now, what does this have to do with anything?
How come you picked just that
one? One sec. Because that's how you find that one time. And by the way, if you're interested there to figure out what Yom Kippur is about, do the same thing for Yom Kippur. This is just a rule in learning. Now, why does that help me? A real king, I mean like a real king, when a king tells you to do something, if you buck him and you break the king's rule, and I mean a real king, what happens to you?
You die.
Beheaded. Okay, you are beheaded. On the spot. Think Aladdin, think whatever you have to do, you're out of there. A real king, like a king, there's no room for error, there's no mercy, there's no forgiveness, there's nothing. So if I do real malchus, if I am really being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we are, how could we even possibly talk about the possibility of sin? And therefore, kapara. Sin and malchus can't exist at the same time because a real melech doesn't allow for sin.
Well, Hashem's not the, like,
and therefore, since Rosh Hashanah is about malchus and Rosh Chodesh by definition is about kapara, kapara doesn't exist. It doesn't barely get mentioned in our davening, except in the places where it does, and I will show you. Because Rosh Hashanah, and that's where the positive spin, and I'm glad you learned this all already, this is good, let's reinforce it. Rosh Hashanah is not Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is not Slichos. Rosh Hashanah is not Vidoy. It's being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the davening. And if you can view Rosh Hashanah that way, now granted, once I view Rosh Hashanah as the day that God is my king, well, duh, what's the next step? If God is my king, then how dare I sin? So I can't remove those two. But attitude-wise, if I spend my Rosh Hashanah coronating my king, not trembling in fear of sin, what a different Rosh Hashanah it will be. Even though those things obviously connect. And I'm glad to hear that you already chap this or were taught this. But this to me is key. Because most people in the Jewish world, if you ask them what Rosh Hashanah is about, it is Yom Hadin. And I'll show you in a minute where that comes in. But it's not. I mean, it is. But it's not. It's the day to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is Malchus. And that's why we hide the existence of Rosh Chodesh almost completely. I still have to tell you about the guy with the pitchfork. We'll save that at the very end. But that is the idea. Questions, and then we'll move on. Yeah.
I'm just curious, how come we're allowed to just look at like one bracha and say, like, now we're just deciding this is...
Again, the way davening is built is that when you want to focus in on the... that's where you look. Now, I'm going to show you... I mean, that's just like... that's what the bracha is. That's what it is. It's the bracha of Kedushat Hayom. So Chazal wrote it as the soundbite of the day. Now, there are other elements to our davening, and therefore things get a little bit more complicated, and that's where we're going to go in a minute. Okay? But first, let's get the facts. Okay? Let's get the focus. The focus is malchus, not sad, happy, great, wonderful, but now there are ramifications. Okay? Yeah.
We also learned that, like,
not only that is there the malchut, but there's also like Hashem is scrutinizing every single person in their tafkid.
We'll get there in a minute. You're talking about Unatana Tokev. We'll get there in a minute. Okay? Yeah.
So on Rosh Hashanah, we're not supposed to be really asking for a good year and a happy year.
Didn't say that.
But then what does that have to do with making Hashem our king?
Because if God is your king,
you
could ask. Okay. Also, Rosh Hashanah is Payom Harat Olam. It's the first day of the year. We do all these little fun things to start your year off on the right foot. So, of course, it's an appropriate day to ask for all sorts of good things. That's different than Al Chet Shechatati Lefanecha, which notice we don't do. Didn't it ever bother you? You spend 10 days this year before Rosh Hashanah saying Slichos. And then on Rosh Hashanah itself, there are none. Right? But now you understand why. When people announce, by the way, we're now up to the Yemei HaRachamim VaHaSlichot before Rosh Hashanah, that's a misnomer. Slichos are before Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is full of slichos. Rosh Hashanah is not. So, Rosh Hashanah is a break. Okay?
So why don't we say slichot just in the Seir Yemei Tshuva before Yom Kippur?
Because we need more. The Sfardim have been saying it all out. Meaning, who says we're preparing for Yom Kippur, we have to take a little break for Rosh Hashanah, so to speak. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then why can't, still, like, that doesn't answer why on Shabbos before you can't do
it. We'll get there. No, because we don't, Rosh Chodesh doesn't exist.
But it does, but we're just not.
No, we don't talk about it. Shh. It happens to be Rosh Chodesh. We happen to even have to bring the carbon, of course, but we don't talk about it.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah.
But aren't we not supposed to ask for things on Rosh Hashanah?
So, of course we ask for things on Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos we don't ask for things, but Rosh Hashanah certainly we do. And again, what are we asking for? You don't ask for your health and
general things.
Yeah, I mean,
for everyone.
It's Yantiv, so yeah. But it's Rosh Hashanah. Of course, we ask for things. I mean, that's what we do all day. We're in shul a long time. You know, it's complicated. When even on Shabbos, you know, I always someone was that you who asked me that on the way back from the kotel. Somebody asked me on the way back from the kotel. That was you, Shana. We're not allowed to ask for things, but then read our davening. Sim Shalom Toval. So that whole topic of what you're allowed to ask for and when not is complicated. Okay, let's move on. Okay. So I didn't tell you the whole truth. Okay? You can't deny the fact that Rosh Hashanah is also Yom Adin. Because it is. It's also the first of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Well, if there are Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and Rosh Hashanah is the first two of them, then obviously there's a Yom Tshuva. And read your davening. Of course there's a Tshuva component. So how does that jive with all of this? And the answer is that it really happened in stages. The real kernel of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. But davening expanded throughout Jewish history. And it is the first of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And as I mentioned, Malchus comes with ramifications, doesn't it? So obviously there are ramifications, and those ramifications mean the call to Tshuva. And there is Tkiyas Shofar. And even though Tkiyas Shofar is Gzeres HaKasavu, and we don't always fully understand what it is, and yes, it's Hitgalut Hashem and coronation of God, and if you read the Psukim of Shofar Road, it's not about Tshuva, they're about either coronation or revelation. But let's be honest, the Rambam already told us, Remez Yeshbo Uru Uru Mishnatchem, it's the wake-up call to do Tshuva. We all know that. So, I don't want to lie to you. So the answer is Rosh Hashanah obviously has both elements. So, how am I supposed to know it at any given time in my davening, how I'm supposed to be feeling? Right? So what's the answer to that? So answer number one is to read your davening. And if you read the words, you know what you're saying. But there's another answer.
Remember when Rabbi Tversky that... Randy just said,
we
like, wake up,
that
that's what it's talking about.
That was
what
we quoted.
No, I know, he has a whole shot, but that's not what it means. Whatever, not for now.
Wait, but is there another thing that says it, though?
What?
Like, wake up. Is there, like, another, like, wake up and whatever?
I mean, it's a pasuk that the Rambam quotes, but that's... Whatever, Rabbi Tversky in his own, I know, has a shot, but...
Wait, what are you asking? Are you asking...
I'm asking, how can I tell, at any given time, in the Rosh Hashanah davening, short of actually reading the words, which I encourage you, of course, to do, and do it in advance, so you know what you're saying. If you read the words, you know what you're saying. You know what emotion you're supposed to be having at that point. Is this tshuva, which is there, or is this malchus? But there's another way to know, and it will help you, and that's the purpose of this little sikha now, is to help you. How? And that's why the Rosh Hashanah matzah. How can I tell, short of actually reading the words and knowing what I'm saying? Anybody know? The tune. If you have a good chazan, okay? And I can't promise you a good chazan except for Musaf on both days, but if you... what can I do? If you have a good chazan, and in many places there are bad chazans, but if you have a good chazan knows what they're allowed and not allowed to do with the tunes. Okay? Story goes as follows. Here is an article written by Cantor Sherwood Goffin, What? It's your uncle? Like, uncle? No. Yeah, great uncle.
Great uncle.
Okay. Can't, look at this. This is a special moment here. Cantor Sherwood Goffin. He wrote this article. Cantor Goffin is a, of the famous cantors of the Chazanim, and he was the Chazan in Lincoln Square Synagogue. He was also my teacher. He was my teacher in ninth grade in Manhattan Hebrew High School when, you know, they offer electives. So one of the electives that nobody took was Nusach HaTzvila. How to daven, how to be a Chazan. My father passed away when I was in ninth grade, so you daven for the Yamid every day when you're in Avel. But the rule in my high school was you weren't allowed to daven for the Yamid unless you were in this elective. So it was no longer an elective, it became a requirement. Isn't that a little annoying? I got up from Shiv, and the next thing I know, I'm being forced into a class I don't want to be in. But what can I do? I happen to like davening. I'm a musical person, so, okay. And I learned how to be a Chazan with Cantor Goffin. And I learned Nusach HaTzvila. And I learned proper Nusach HaTzvila based on thousands of years of the proper tunes when you daven. And I can tell you, nobody knows Nusach. Nobody. I davened this summer on a visiting day in Marashah. I davened in the boys' BMP. And somebody came over to me afterwards and said, Shkach, and Shkach, I'm using proper Nusach. And I like looked up and I said, oh my God, you know what proper Nusach is? Nobody davens with proper Nusach. The other day in Shul, I noticed I came in, I was late. Late meaning I was there for Ms. Morshir, but I wasn't there for Rabbi Yishmael Omer, so somebody else had already got in the oven, because whatever. And I listened to him daven, he davened Shabbat, and he used Nusach HaTfilah. But he never used Nusach HaTfilah before, so I realized, you know where he learned it from?
Yeah.
Me! Over the course of the year, he picked it up. I'm so excited. I actually taught somebody. Anyway, so I learned Nusach HaTfilah. When it came up to learn the davening for Rosh Hashanah, for Yontif and then Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I said to Cantor Goffin, there's no point in teaching me this. I'm never going to use it. He says, why not? I said, because I'm a Kohen. And a Kohen says Birchat Kohenim. And in America, at least in Chutz Laaretz, if you're going to say Birchas Kohenim, you can't be the Chazan. But he said, you better learn it because you never know. One day, maybe you're going to make Aliyah in Israel. You can be the Chazan when you're gone. I said, nah, that's never going to happen. But he forced me to learn it, and I learned it. And now I daven Musaf both days Rosh Hashanah and MMY, and I learned with Cantor Goffin. I learned my Nusach HaTfilah. Anyway, and he was a chassid about this. You have to daven the proper tunes. But try telling that to anybody else. So he now, this article came out a few years ago, and it actually explains what type of tunes you're supposed to use when you daven. And you may not realize this, because you're girls especially. Every davening has a mode that you're supposed to use. So if you're musical, I don't know how many of you are musical, if it's in minor, that conveys one thing. But if it's in major, that conveys something else. So you musical people can tell me, what do you think minor conveys? Sad or introspective. But if something is in major, it's happy-go-lucky, happy-clappy. So for example, let's use the tefillah of Unasana Tokef. Okay? Unasana Tokef, everybody knows, if you're Ashkenaz anyway, is the most serious part of davening. It's hard to keep a dry eye. Mi yichyeh umi yamut. The tune that one would choose for that, what type of tune should a chazan choose?
Minor.
Or something that evokes emotion. Could you imagine if somebody would sing Mi yichyeh umi yamut to like Baruch HaGever? Baruch HaGever. It would be bad, right? But there are chazans like that, okay? And now I hope you'll start listening to the davening. When you hear a chazan use a tune, say, is this appropriate or is this not? In fact, there are other parts of davening where you're not allowed to use a tune at all, where the actual song is thousands of years old. If you're interested in this, there's a whole article here with sources about why. He even has a chart here, which I tried to give to the other chazanim around here. Davening by davening, what you're not allowed to touch, what you're allowed to touch, but it has to stay in the proper mode, minor, major, etc. Or what you're allowed to do whatever you want. My classic example of bad chazanim is Miami Boys Choir. And this is from the Yom Kippur davening. It's an old Miami Boys Choir. It was the first Miami Boys Choir song I learned on Chesky's bus to Breuer's in eighth grade. But this, one of the original Miami Boys Choir song goes is to the words in davening at the end of the Yom Kippur davening. Elohai, Achalo, Natsarti, Eni, Kadai. The Akshav, Shenotsarti, Ki'ilu, Lo, Natsarti. Translated, God, until I was born, I was not worth anything. And now that I'm born, it's better that I was never born. That's a pretty sad, you know, or, you know, damning tefillah. So you would think that the Miami Boys Choir song goes like this. Any kedai, bum, 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 da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. That's the tune. I'm not worth a thing, I'm a piece of dirt, any kedai, that, it's dumb. But we have chazanim like that.
It's like Zachrini Malos.
Like Zachrini.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can think of a million examples. Let's pretend, therefore, that you have a good chazan. Okay? If you have a good chazan who davens appropriately, you will be able to know if the davening, even without reading the words, you will be able to know if you're supposed to be thinking machus or if you're supposed to be thinking tshuva by the tune.
Machus also serious?
Machus may be serious, but no, it's
you're like counting a kick.
Yeah, bum ba dum ba da. Think Barney. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, right? So that episode when Barney is the king, it's positive. It's happy. It's wow. This is an opportunity. I got a ticket. Could you imagine if you got into the inauguration? The inauguration doesn't have the solemn. It's very pomp and circumstance. It's very good. And it's the same thing you're doubting. So now let's open up. Let's open up your machzer, okay? I see you, Rivka. I'm not forgetting you. Let's open up your machzer, and let's do a few examples. So, for example, turn to chakras. Okay, chakras. Okay.
Shmona Esrei?
Yeah, always Shmona Esrei. No, you know what? Even before Shmona Esrei, let's turn to chakras, right before Barfu. Okay? Right before Baruch Hu, Psuke de Zimra, Psuke de Zimra, who cares? Let's get to right before, you know, Hamelech. Okay? Okay? Hamelech. So that's pretty coronating, right? It's in minor, granted. It's not really in minor. It's really in Fregish, but not important right now. So I'll give you a chakras here, okay? And then you tell me if this is tshuva or malchus. Forget the words. I know you can read the words, but whatever. Hamelech. And then the chazan from there goes up to the shtender. He says Hamelech. You can't see from the girl's side, but he says Hamelech from the seat. And then, you know, whatever. And then goes up to the thing. Yosheva. It's pretty coronating, right? It's true. It's not major, but it's, you know... Shochenad Maram Vikadashima. Right? It's not, you know, etc. Okay? The Baruch Hu, by the way, which most people do wrong, is the same thing. Baruch Hu is happy. It's in major. Baruch Hu es Hashem Amvora. That's what it's supposed to be.
Oh, they usually do
it. But it always isn't.
It's
right.
Minor.
Okay? But then, right after. At the end of your shtabach there, brachos v'hodos mi'atav yad olam baruch atah Hashem kel melech, and we always emphasize the word melech. Melech adol batish bachot. It's like it's sing-songy, and then right after you get to melech kel chay olamim, right? Then we say Shir HaMalos, right? What's the tune for Shir HaMalos? Shir HaMalos mimamakim kirat. You hear the difference?
Yeah.
What's Shir HaMalos?
Tshuva.
Tshuva. Mimamakim kirasi Hashem. Some people don't even say this on Rosh Hashanah. We do here, but many people don't even say it because...
The
yeah, that's the service you make tshuva. Why are you doing that on Rosh Hashanah? Okay? Then, when you now turn to Chazarat HaShatz. Okay? Again, chakras. Let's stick chakras.
Giving chakras?
Okay, no, let's look in Chazarat HaShatz of chakras. Okay? Right at the beginning, Baruch, Chazarat HaShatz. Okay? Okay? Baruch, something like this. Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Avotein. Tshuva or Malchus?
Malchus.
Okay? Okay? And then when you get to Misod Chachamim, it switches to minor.
Why, Misa?
Why? Because there we're asking permission to be able to turn to God, to beseech Him, to appeal to Him.
Tshuva.
So that's kind of like, it's not exactly tshuva, but it's tshuva-esque. Okay? And then there's this thing called the Reshut, where the Chazan says this himself, Emecha nasati chen biarki b'malchut amecha. It's the chazan begging to be have the schus to be able to represent the community. So it's beseeching. So it's not exactly tshuva, but again, it's beseeching, so it's in minor. Then you get to the songs. Okay? Again, we skip a lot of the whatever. Yimloch Hashem li'alam alokayek si'am l'davador aluka vi'atah kadosh yoshev tilos Yisrael ke'elna. Major?
Yeah.
Malchus. And then the songs, if they're done properly, should be, lav davka in major, but they should be upbeat. Happy. Melech Elyon. Yeah, those are songs of happiness. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch li'alam v'ed. Those are supposed to be happy. Okay? The best example of this is in Musaf. Flip to Musaf.
I love the Kedusha part. It's like a whole sing-song.
Okay? Skip to Musaf. Okay? Musaf, turn to an Etana Tokef. This, to me, is the most poignant moment, not because it's sad, it's the transition. An Etana Tokef. Right before an Etana Tokef, we're singing Masa Elokeinu. Masa Elokeinu is happy. Masa Elokeinu is happy. The whole paragraph that piyut right before is, look at God's actions. For example, Pe'ero b'shmei ma'onai, Sofel ma'bit le'nai, Kilush ma'obamanai, we're all going to praise God. Lachen yitzga'eh gedolim, all of us in proud fashion are going to be happy about Masa Hashem. It's very happy, it's a happy tune. And then it immediately goes into Unetana Tokef. What do you think happens to the tune?
Minor.
Right. Unetana Tokef, scary, right? Scary. Mi yechye, mi amut, barosh Hashanah yikatev, niyom som kipur yikatevun, utshuvu, utzvilu, utztaka, ma'avir, and esroa ha'gzeira. And then we read, and then God, he waits for you until to do tshuva each day until you die. Know that you came from dirt, you go to dirt, right? Sad. Unetana Tokef. And then what happens? V'atahu melech kelchai v'kayam. That's how it ends, right? So Unetana Tokef is scary, life is fleeting, it's quick, it's like a dream, it's like a cloud. And then we switch. V'atahu melech kelchai v'kayam. Happy, right? Right into a song. Bum, 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 into Kedusha. So that transition from the scary to that happy, and into Kedusha, etc. Right? So the good chazan, and most of the songs on Rosh Hashanah, most, not all, but most of them are happy and go, etc. Rosh Hashanah davening, again, with the good chazan is fun and interactive. Yeah. Okay? So the idea being is that if you use your proper use of migunin, now here's your trivia question. Ready for this? This is hot off the press from a WhatsApp that I got not even an hour ago. Slichos. Happy or sad?
It depends.
Well, in
sad,
it's sad, but it's happy because we're good. It's sad when we're
I know.
When we're asking for forgiveness.
You're not sure, right? Because what do you think?
Why wouldn't it be sad?
Why wouldn't it be sad? It's Slichos. It's like Yom Kippur, right?
But we're getting forgiven.
But let's talk about the tune.
It's an opportunity.
The tune. I will be your chazan again. Ready?
It's a major.
Okay? Some of it is minor. The poetry part is a little bit sad. If you read the words, it's scary even, right? But then what happens after the poetry part? Kea melech yoshev. All of a sudden, the little tune, if you actually, turns to major, right? Tazin Shavas and Vikra B'Shem Hashem Vayavar Hashem Apanav Vayikra. Major.
But it's sad.
That's not sad. That's major. Okay? The Nusuk for Slichos, and I remind you, what is real Slichos? Not the poetry. The Yud Gimel Midos. Okay? Therefore, Slichos, the real Slichos, is happy. Why? Because what is Slichos based on? Slichos is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where God says, you are going to sin, Am Yisrael, but have no fear. And God wraps himself in a talis, pretends to be a shliach. This is the Gemara, word for word. Pretends to be the shliach tzibor, and he taught Moshe Rabbeinu that if you say the 13 attributes, I guarantee that I will forgive you. That's lichos. So it's the yud gimel midos. Everything else is, that's that line, where it says le'anav, that God came down le'anav mikedem. Who's the anav?
Moshe.
That God came down to Moshe of old, and he taught him to say, Vayavor Hashem al panav, Vayikra. God came in front of Moshe. This is Parshas Kisisa. Moshe came and said, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachem uchanan. It's happy because there's a guarantee. Yom Kippur in the davening. Ever wonder when we say Hashamnu out loud as a tzibur? What's the tune?
The major.
Hashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, dibarnu, dofi. That is the tune.
We do it slower though.
Yeah, I say it very slow.
It's a beer song. It's a happy tune. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. V-Doy is happy on Yom Kippur because...
We're going to be forgiven.
Correct. It's a guarantee.
So it's happy on Slichot also.
Yes.
It's like a happy song.
Why people cry?
Yes. And by the way, much to your chagrin, and then I'll end. I have one. I promised you my word about the pitchfork. But therefore, you will be upset at times on Rosh Hashanah when the chazan, whoever he may be, picks a tune different than the one that you like. For example, at the end of davening on Rosh Hashanah, at the very, very end, right before Hamavarech et Amo Yisrael b'Shalom, there are the following words: "V'habiyotim al harkat shiva simachtim bebeit tefilati." Everybody loves the song, but what song does everybody like? Wrong tune.
I love it.
V'habiyotim. Correct. Now, when I sing the happy, when I sing, because you daven in Rabbi David Shul, he knows what he's doing. When you sing V'habiyotim in Sim Shalom on Rosh Hashanah, it's the end of the Rosh Hashanah davening. It's happy. And therefore, to use the sad Karbach tune would be wrong. Even if you like it. When is the right time to use the sad Bahaviyotim?
In the middle of
your Slichos. Right before Shema Kolenu. Because Shema Kolenu is beseeching. So at that point, in Slichos, Migdalos or otherwise, to sing the slow Bahaviyotim al Har Kadshi, at that point in davening, on Yom Kippur, for example, when we have that right before Shema Kolenu and Slichos, the slow tune would be appropriate. So it's not just the words, it's its timing, it's its context, it's not just the tune that you like, it's what it evokes at the time when it is supposed to evoke. And therefore, my message to you, and I will close with the pitchfork, but my message to you is first of all, I'm a big fan of compartmentalizing here, and I'm not trying to tell you that Rosh Hashanah is not Yom HaDin, and I'm not telling you not to do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. However, for those that are scared of Rosh Hashanah, for those that have a hard time with Rosh Hashanah, for those that get paralyzed by Rosh Hashanah, and there are people like that, my advice, focus on the Malchus, focus on the closeness with God, the new beginnings, the apple and the honey, because really that's the real Rosh Hashanah. The other stuff is there too, and Chazal added to it through their piyutim. Focus on the Malchus, and then yes, there are ramifications. I find that that's a lot healthier. And now the pitchfork. Ready for my vort on the pitchfork?
Yes.
Okay. This is only one little vort. We do so many things on Rosh Hashanah to confuse the Satan. As if the Satan is this idiot who can't keep a calendar and doesn't know. And I don't even know who the Satan is, and is there a Satan, and you have to study Sefer Iyo for that and whatever. Not important. I think what the message is of this, all this little shtick to fool the Satan is the guy who like gets us to sin, right? So who's this guy that we're listening to? The guy who pushed us to sin in the first place? He's a guy who gets confused just because I didn't bench Rosh Chodesh on the Shabbos before because I blew shofar 3 hours. This guy who can't... he's dumb. And I listen to him? If I realize that sin is just dumb and I'm being pushed by some idiot to do it, why am I sinning? And therefore, I think that's the shot in the guy with the pitchfork. But it's my own shot. Erev Tov, I hope it helps. And less than 1 hour.
Thank you very much.
Less than 1 hour to what?
This is the whole thing.
Thank you.
I thought it was like Shavuos is tomorrow, like less than 1 hour to Rosh Hashanah.
No, less than 1 hour.